Here are the stories we're covering this week in the Category5.tv newsroom. PayPal has dropped out of the alliance that is trying to launch Facebook's digital currency, Libra. A man has been able to move all four of his paralyzed limbs with a mind-controlled exoskeleton suit. No, we're not early to the April Fool's jokes of 2020. Microsoft is really making a new mobile phone that has two screens and runs Android. And Canada's busiest airport will soon be using artificial intelligence-powered technology to detect weapons. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Category5.tv newsroom, covering the week's top tech stories with a slight Linux bias.
I'm Sasha Rickman, and here are the top stories we're following this week. PayPal has dropped out of the alliance that is trying to launch Facebook's digital currency, Libra. PayPal made the announcement in a statement on Friday, but did not specify what had prompted the decision. Libra and its digital wallet, Calibra, were revealed by Facebook in June. But the cryptocurrency has been criticized by regulators, and both France and Germany have pledged to block it from Europe. PayPal said it remains supportive of Libra's aspirations, but had chosen to focus on its own core businesses. The firm was one of the original members of the Libra Association, a group of 28 companies and nonprofits helping to develop Libra. Its other members include payments company Visa, ride-hailing app Uber, and humanitarian charity Mercy Corps. In response to PayPal's withdrawal, Libra Association said that it was aware that attempts to reconfigure the financial system would be hard. Quote, commitment to that mission is more important to us than anything else, it said in a statement. We're better off knowing about this lack of commitment now, end quote. At its unveiling this year, Facebook said that people would be able to make payments with the currency via its own apps as well as on messaging service WhatsApp. Partner firms would also be able to accept Libra for transactions. Facebook said Libra would be independently managed and backed by real assets, and that paying with it would be as easy as texting. The group of seven advanced economies warned in July that it would not let Libra proceed until all regulatory concerns had been addressed. Central bank chiefs, including the UK's Mark Carney, have also voiced skepticism, and US President Donald Trump has tweeted that he's not a fan of the currency. The Libra Association will hold its first meeting of its governing body, the Libra Council, on the 14th of October. The group said in a tweet that it planned to share updates soon afterwards about, quote, 1,500 entities that have indicated enthusiastic interest to participate, end quote.
How interesting.
This is an interesting story because I was just reading today that some of the American politicians are telling Visa, if you stay involved, this is going to be highly scrutinized.
Oh.
Sure. So do you want to continue? And so there's a lot of scrutiny over Libra. And I mean, I know I've said in the past, like, I think this is not a great idea simply because of the issues Facebook has had. So you get them attached to it, and it's going to immediately open the door to privacy concerns.
Except,
or how is it going to be used? And I know it's not just Facebook, but I think that plays in as an undercurrent of fear. If it wasn't Facebook involved, would people be more open to it? And that's the big thing. Like,
cryptocurrency backed by so many companies in general, I think, is like governments would be hesitant because they lose the control over their own economy.
That's true.
And that means they lose the control over fair trade and other. You know, like what would a government do if suddenly they lost all control of the currency?
Well, for sure.
That's,
I mean, if you figure, you know, you've got trading on the actual stock market of currency, and if suddenly there's a run on, American currency, say, and people are like, you know, I want to invest in Libra instead, and nationalities are then going with the cryptocurrency, like the U.S. dollar crashes, that impacts the whole economy.
Yeah.
So there's a whole reason for wanting to keep things, from a monetary standpoint, stable.
Right.
You know? So I do get it. I do get the concern.
It's funny because I would think personally, because of Facebook's issues, I would have less confidence. But then knowing that Visa is partnered, then that brings up the confidence. It's like Visa has this, I have this comfort in the security of Visa. So I'm like,
They've branded themselves well, haven't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they really have. They're really
just all about the interest.
But what's interesting to me is that I think that because it's Facebook and so many people who aren't as well educated in the privacy issues, they probably are excited about it because it's Facebook, right?
Oh, perhaps, yeah. So, oh, this is going to be integrated into WhatsApp.
Right.
So, hey, that's a great feature, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's definitely that, too. I think it's just the natural evolution of, like, this is a technology that now exists. Now, obviously, Libra doesn't. We don't yet know, like, we understand that they're going to be using real commodities in order to stabilize the currency.
Right.
But how can a cryptocurrency be stable? That's what I'm waiting to find out.
Right. And is there going to be no mining of the currency? Like, and if that's the case,
how do you...
You have to acquire it by purchasing it.
Right.
With real dollars.
Just like regular currency, which is like you're doing the exchange. When I have U.S. dollars, I've purchased U.S. dollars from here in Canada. So we'll see. And does PayPal bailing out, does that really represent any impact on Libra? Or is it just going to carry on and PayPal's just not going to be a part of it? Because they're really kind of a competing product. And cryptocurrency doesn't really fall into what they've really established themselves as, which is a fiat-based currency bank, basically, like a digital bank.
And truly, like, time will tell. In 5 years, PayPal is either going to be kicking themselves for getting out, or they're going to be high-fiving each other for getting out. Like, we don't know, right? Yeah.
We shall see.
Yeah.
And we'll be here to report on it, folks.
That's right.
That we will.
For season 18.
Unfortunately, our teleprompter has stopped working, but luckily I have the news stories loaded on my laptop, so if you'll excuse me, I'll be looking down to read the news. A man has been able to move all four of his paralyzed limbs with a mind-controlled exoskeleton suit. Tybolt, who does not want his surname revealed, was an optician before he fell 15 meters in an incident at a nightclub 4 years ago. He says, taking his first steps in an experimental exoskeleton suit felt like being the first man on the moon. His movements, particularly walking, are far from perfect, and the robo-suit is being used in only the lab. But researchers say the approach could one day improve patients' quality of life. Tybolt had surgery to place two implants on the surface of the brain, covering the parts of the brain that control movement. 64 electrodes on each of the implants read the brain activity and beam the instructions to a nearby computer. Sophisticated computer software then reads the brain waves and turns them into instructions for controlling the exoskeleton. The injury to his spinal cord left him paralyzed, and he spent the next 2 years in hospital. But in 2017, he took part in the exoskeleton trial with Clinatec and the University of Grenoble. Initially, he practiced using the brain implants to control a virtual character, or avatar, in a computer game. And then he moved on to walking in the suit. After 2 years of not walking, he says he'd actually forgotten how to walk and even lost the perception that he was taller than a lot of people in the room. While he quickly took to controlling the exoskeleton's ability to walk, it took a lot longer to learn how to control the arms. He says, quote, "It was very difficult because it is a combination of multiple muscles and movements. This is the most impressive thing that I do with the exoskeleton," end quote. Tybolt does need to be attached to a ceiling harness in order to minimize the risk of him falling over in the exoskeleton. It means the device is not yet ready to move outside the laboratory. There are also plans to develop finger control to allow Tybolt to pick up and move objects. But the researchers have to be careful how much data they transmit from the brain to the computer. They have 350 milliseconds to go from thought to movement, otherwise the system becomes difficult to control. There is the future potential to read the brain in more detail using more powerful computers and AI to interpret the information from the brain. And the team responsible are keen to continue developing the technology. Using the sensors, Tybolt has also used the implant to control a wheelchair. According to the researchers, their motivation is entirely medical in providing mobility to patients who otherwise would be unable to move.
That is incredible.
I know.
So, like, let's get this straight. He has, like, sensors in his brain,
right,
on the surface of his brain, that are reading his thoughts to control movement.
Right.
What
incredible.
What's impressive about that is the fact that they've been able
everything.
Yeah, there's a lot of things, but the fact that they've been able to isolate the electrical impulses in the brain that signify those specific movements.
Yeah.
Like, that in and of itself is phenomenal.
Or is he training his brain to create new ones?
Right. Maybe,
to control those, right? I love that they have the avatar first for him to, like, train on and build confidence with, because I can't imagine, like, controlling a machine with my mind but having my body then at risk, right, at the same time, right? Yeah. So it's good to have that level of confidence in the situation.
It is interesting, though, that it can't be done on board. And maybe it's just the amount of computing power that's required. You can't build that into the suit.
Well, I'm sure that can be done inevitably through technologies, like, where technology is at. Look at single board computers that have like NPUs on them, neural processing units, that can process data at teraflops, and they fit like in your pocket. So it could be done. It's just maybe they got to start. You got to start when you're prototyping. It's always bigger and certainly the safety harness of being strapped to the ceiling makes sense.
Yes,
because like you say, you can't imagine what would happen if like he made the wrong thought and it collapsed on him or something.
It's interesting, though, because I'm like very safety minded in this thought, and I think it would be really good if they implemented this for wheelchairs first.
By default, it works. And that seems so much more simple than this.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Maybe wheelchairs and maybe transfer devices.
And cars.
Right.
Cars.
And No.
What is cool about this, though, I mean, and you're talking about putting it maybe in wheelchairs, but I'm thinking all the people that have prosthetic limbs, you know, to be able to take this technology and go, hey, you know what? So you're missing a part of your arm and a hand. We now have a prosthetic limb. Here's this little implant. You can now control that arm.
Oh, like, the fact that you're getting there.
But that excites me, because you think of the limitations that some people have to deal with. It's like, okay, well, I can't do that. This opens up a whole new world.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. Like, I am so excited about this project and what it means for giving life back to people who are hampered in some way or another. It's great. Cool. This is a total good news story.
And it's not just about that mobility, but just reading. Like you say, the wheelchair is not moving the body parts. It's moving like a motorized wheelchair.
Yeah. Right.
So, like, the communication can be with a device. It can be with controlling other devices. Who knows what they can come up with?
Yeah, who knows exactly? This is, the world is your oyster when it comes to...
Thoughts, ideas? Comment below.
I am wondering, from a security standpoint, like, I'm suddenly thinking about the fact that it's transmitting to a computer. Could this open up the door to somebody hacking that, so to speak, and taking control of the suit by sending...
Why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself?
But I mean...
Yeah, like, all of a sudden your big brother's in there.
Yeah, but I would hope that in something like this, it's not just about the mobility and what they could do, but they're also building in some security protocols for that kind of stuff. I mean, that wasn't covered in the story, but I hope that's the case.
Yeah, for sure.
Because, I mean, it's if this gets to the point of being standalone use, it could have an impact.
We'll see what happens over the next several years with this technology, with the research that they're putting into it as well.
So cool.
Now, we've got to take a quick break. The Crypto Report and more of this week's top tech stories are coming up. Don't go anywhere. In what serves to confirm we are currently living in the end times, Microsoft has made a new mobile phone that has two screens and runs Android. It would appear Microsoft itself is learning that if at first you don't succeed, there's always Linux. They've announced a forthcoming Android Surface Phone Duo at their annual hardware event, among other dual-screen Qualcomm and AMD-powered goodies. There is a huge catch. You'll have to wait until Christmas 2020 if you want one of your own. Unlike the Samsung Galaxy Fold, Microsoft's attempt at a folding fondle slab, pardon me, is quite clearly two screens with a chunky 360-degree hinge in the middle, allowing displays to be positioned however you want, as a small tablet, as a closed-up device, half-open as a book, or fully open as a large flat tablet. Those touchscreens are each 5.6-inch units, making an 8.3-inch display when opened up fully. While the separate screens will be scoffed at by owners of Samsung and Huawei's forthcoming foldable devices, which use one large continuous bendable display, the Surface monitors should at least be more durable than the disastrous first attempts by Samsung. Surface enthusiast-in-chief Panos Panay says the company is, quote, partnering with Google to bring the best of Android, end quote. This comes after Microsoft extracted billions of dollars in patent royalty payments out of Android makers until recently and is about to finally bring down the axe on one of its family of mobile Windows operating systems. And this is Android powered by Linux, the open source kernel that Redmond now apparently loves after earlier declaring it a cancer. Quite a turnaround. Linux kernel creator Linus Torvalds said back in 1998, quote, if Microsoft ever does applications for Linux, it means I've won. Well, Linus, you've won.
That is awesome.
That's exciting.
I mean, well done, Linux.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Yes, for the win.
Well, it starts to feel like, okay, they it was always Windows versus, and Linux was made out to sound like, oh, only hackers use that.
Yeah.
Well, and Linux, Android is based on Linux, so it's basically powered by Linux. A lot of devices are that you don't even realize, your routers and things like that, your phone, your tablets, they're all Linux-based. But Microsoft wanted to have Windows-based tablets.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to be doing Android is pretty cool.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Change it up.
Canada's busiest airport will soon be using artificial intelligence-powered technology to detect weapons. The operator of Toronto's Pearson International Airport says that it has agreed to test the new system developed at an Ivy League American university and marketed by a BC company. Vancouver-based Liberty Defense Holdings Limited says the technology, known as Hexwave, can detect both metallic and non-metallic weapons ranging from guns and knives to explosives. It operates by capturing radar images, then using artificial intelligence to analyze those images for signs of a weapon concealed in bags or under clothing. Liberty says that the technology is not able to recognize facial features and is therefore does not pose a privacy risk, a position experts in the field view with some skepticism. The Greater Toronto Airports Authority, which operates Pearson, says that it will start deploying the technology in the spring of 2020 in a bid to boost security. Dwayne McIntosh, Director of Corporate Safety and Security for the Authority, said, quote, they were trying something that could give us a more definitive look at weapons and plastic explosives that may be coming into airports. When I saw this opportunity, I felt that we had to be part of it, end quote. McIntosh said the exact plans for the pilot project are still underway, but said Hexwave units will be deployed just outside airport terminals in order to pick up on potential threats before they get inside. One of the system's benefits, he said, is that it can be integrated with other airport security features and trigger responses based on what it picks up. Detection of certain weapons, for instance, could automatically trigger doors to lock or sound specific alarms. Pearson Airport is not the only location. The Metro Toronto Convention Centre has also signed as a test site.
See, I like that last point about locking down doors.
Yes.
And think about schools or something. Mm-hmm. Like just the idea behind that, as frightening as that is and how we don't want that to ever be the case, it's like to be able to lock down based on an AI, now that also has some scary connotations.
But, okay, I would say, like, human-based security
there
is
are movies
always,
like
human-based security is always going to be necessary, but also it's kind of easy to pull the wool over somebody's eyes if you know exactly how to socially interact, right? So to have AI kind of as a backup, not as the only.
Okay, yeah, maybe that's it. Yeah.
Right? That's good, right?
So think of it, that makes me think, okay, so my immediate thought was, oh, AI being able to lock down all the doors, maybe that's maybe that's dangerous. What if it was instead an alerting system? This is hypothetical.
Yeah.
But you think about the security guard or security person watching 300 monitors in the security room, and what if they don't catch what's happening on this monitor because they're looking at this monitor?
Right.
What if the AI could light it up red and say, rrr, 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 something's going on here?
And it could be something, really, that doesn't even incite panic for people. Like, what if the triggered response is just something that comes across the hall and says, you know, under construction, or, you know, it happens all the time at Pearson.
Right.
So, like...
But what is it cool about this is that, you know, for us here in Canada, this is a local story for us. I mean,
I'm
in the Metro Toronto Convention Centre all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I fly out through Pearson often for work, and it's like, this is kind of neat. I'm excited to actually see this put into play and to see, do I even notice it?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, not that I'm going to, you know, try to test it, but like to see, like walk in and go, oh, yeah, okay, there's that sensor. And, oh, there's that. Like just to see if I can pick up on it, or does it just become part of everyday life? It's kind of neat. But what it's interesting about it is that it's before you enter the airport.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, when you get to those security checkpoints, you go through all the steps, but this is kind of like a pre-screening before you even get in there to protect everybody who's checking in for their flights. And that's where the massive load of people are.
And just flights in this particular scenario. But
There's thousands of people that could be in the lobbies all at once.
No, you go ahead. Just don't let me lose my thought.
I wanted to speak to the privacy side of things, where they said there's a little skeptical about the fact that faces aren't recognized or recognizable. I'm wondering what actually you would see on a scan.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. That, for me, would be interesting.
Well, you're not seeing. The AI is interpreting data and saying, okay, this person, there's something. So my thought is, could this also, not only the positive effect of knowing that, hey, that person is carrying a weapon, but could this also help to prevent stereotyping and racial profiling and and falsely accusing or falsely stopping somebody?
Right. You know,
based on those kinds of things.
You know what? I bet it would also help, too. It would diminish attempts with people knowing that the technology is integrated in. It might take, say, somebody was going to target an airport. They're not going to target Pearson because they know that Pearson has this AI.
Mm-hmm.
What, from a, you know, a local perspective on this, I'm also going, does this really need to go into Pearson? Like, is there more going on than
it's,
I realize?
Proactive,
like,
right?
Well,
it's,
I get
proactive.
That, but it does,
like,
make,
let's not wait until
it
happens.
Me wonder, like, okay, so they're piloting this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is there a reason for it? And it just makes me go, wow, they do a really good job if that's the case, because you never see anything go down at Pearson,
at
least the amount of times that I've been there. So, to know that this is just an added layer of security that maybe is going to be never used would be great. But if it is going to cut down on stuff, I'm going, wow, well done, because I didn't know now it was an issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
that's true.
It's cool. It's very cool.
Sasha, can I jump on to the cryptocurrency report just to let our viewers know kind of where things are standing?
Absolutely.
As of October 9th, 2019, this is what CoinGecko tells us. Bitcoin, Jeff, is on the rise once again. We're up $325.91 US,
nice,
which brings us to $8,587.45 per coin.
Cool.
Facebook Libra still not trading. Litecoin is at $59.08, gaining just a few bucks. Ethereum is doing pretty well as well, at $191.42, up from $177 last week. Monero is holding steady at $55.82. And Scala, one of the small little micro coins, is losing a gain just a little bit at 0.32 ten thousandths of a cent. Turtlecoin, on the other hand, is gaining the same amount almost at 0.26 ten thousandths of a cent.
Is Scala the one that kept changing its name?
Yeah, it was Stellite, and then it was Torque, and then it became Scala. So
it's still on the downward trajectory. Like, it makes me wonder if this is really as a result of switching those names.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like, if people have lost
confidence, stopped trading in it, that's part of the problem.
Probably.
Right? You lose confidence in a coin that doesn't have stability. One of the things, looking at micro coins, Turtle Coin has been consistent.
Yes.
And it's been stable. And because of that, it's... And their logo's a turtle shell.
Which is so awesome.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for the win. Really, I mean, that gives you confidence in the microcoin and being a microcoin. There's not a lot, there's no risk, basically. It's not like you're going to buy 10 billion of them, but you can mine them because they're so plentiful, and you can get it on consumer hardware still, and that's still a possibility. But the thing to remember about cryptocurrency is that the market is always open and it's always changing. It's very volatile, and I mean, like, from right now at this very moment to 10 minutes from now and even overnight, it's going to change completely and flip on its head. So you really have to make sure that you're only investing and spending what you can afford to lose, because you quite frankly are very possibly going to lose it. It's up and down all the time. But hey, if you get gains, then that's a powerful thing. But also there's flotting or holding and investing in the future and holding that and trusting that, hey, Bitcoin's going to be worth more one day. And I think that's what we're going to see as soon as Libra starts trading as well.
That's true.
You know, big investments coming into Libra, which is going to then very quickly boost the Libra economy and cause it to go up in value as well. So we'll see what happens.
It's going
to
be incredible. Yeah,
just keep that in mind.
Big thanks to Roy W. Nash and our community of viewers for submitting stories to us this week. Thanks for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Rickman.
I'm Robbie Ferguson. I'm in charge of all of the tech around here. Sorry about that teleprompter, but you did all right. So
Thanks. Well done.
Yeah. And I'm Jeff Weston, and I just stand here.
He's here for the comic effect.
I read manuals. I read the instructions.